Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, the comedians that perform here, and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what helps make up our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Dawn Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. I'm excited to introduce you to Stephanie Pence from Bricks and Columns Vineyards, located in the heart of the Shenandoah Valley, just 20 minutes from Harrisonburg and 7 minutes from Massanutten Village. This 160-acre farm is a wedding venue and vineyard showcasing the spectacular panoramic views of the Blue Ridge Mountains. It features stately Jeffersonian architecture with sprawling lawns, also ideal for your rehearsal dinners, birthday parties, intimate fundraisers, corporate events, and holiday gatherings. Welcome to the show, Stephanie. It's great to have you on today.
Hi, Dawn. Thank you for having me on today. I'm looking forward to sharing with you about our venue and our winery.
I am too. I have been out there. It is stunning and absolutely gorgeous. And originally, this was your residence with your husband, Steve. Both of you have rich history growing up on farms. Can you tell us more about your agricultural backgrounds and the story behind finding your property at Bricks and Columns?
Yes, I'd be happy to. So my husband and I are both from the area. He grew up here most of his life. When he was about one, he moved to the area. And then I moved here when I was in fifth grade. We grew up within 5 to 10 minutes of where we currently are. So my husband's family, his grandparents, they lived right across the street from them. And his grandparents raised cattle and pigs and sheep and had gardens. So he was always helping with that, as well as he had some livestock of his own. And then I grew up with horses. We moved to the Shenandoah Valley when I was in fifth grade. I had a love of horses, and so horses were my life through high school. And so I grew up with that. When we were away for several years with college, and then my husband served in the military. And when we moved back to the area, we had 4 children, and we wanted our children to experience some of the agricultural life and what it was like. And so it was important to us. We wanted to buy a farm. So we bought a farm and we started raising cattle and doing hay. So we just thought it was important life lessons for them. And to several things out of that is one, that things are not always in our control. We could have $20,000 worth of hay down and it would rain, and suddenly that becomes $8,000 worth of hay. And it's completely out of our control. And then, you know, a lot of our country is founded on agriculture, and we just wanted them to experience that and understand that. So
that sounds like you learned some lessons early on in obtaining this property in terms of farm life on the other end, not so much as growing up on a farm, but now managing and owning a farm.
Yes, we definitely have. It's been a learning experience. We all love it. My son, before he got married, 2 days before he got married, we were doing some square bales of hay, which that for people who don't know about farming, that is typically what you feed horses. So what you see are smaller square bales of hay. And his comment to us was, we said, "Yeah, Taylor, you don't need to help us with baling." And he said, "You know, this is how I started." He said, "This is what I want to do before I get married." So a day or two before he was married, he was out throwing hay bales on the back of a wagon, which was really fun.
How much does a typical bale weigh?
It weighs between 60 and 70 pounds. I always say I can lift it to waist, but I can't throw it over my shoulder. So my son played football and lacrosse. So a fun thing, when he was still in high school, he would have many of his friends who also played lacrosse and football come out and help bale hay. And we'd have 10 or 12 guys on the back of a wagon throwing hay bales, and they looked at it as great exercise. And I was often the one driving the tractor, and that it would warm my heart to look back and see these guys just having fun. And they were hot and sweaty and covered with hay, but they had a good time.
Yeah, but you wish you still had a bunch of those guys around.
I do. I miss those days. I miss those guys. They were good kids. My husband says, yeah, how many guys ask for sunscreen and allergy meds before they go out and bale hay?
Those guys did. That's who.
That's right. They were good kids. So we had lots of fun together.
Now, do you still have horses and cows on the property?
We no longer have horses. Our children all enjoyed horses, but none of them are passionate about it. And for me, horses is a lifestyle. It's not something you can just kind of come and go with it. It really has to be part of your life. So we had some horses while they were growing up, but none of them took to it to want to be fully invested in it. So after our horses died of old age, and when our last one died, that was it. We still do have cattle on the farm right now. We're renting that space out to someone else to raise cattle. I think we're going to talk about it a little later, but we are growing grapevines, and that is consuming most of our time. So we're not able to keep up with the cattle at this point in time.
Okay, yeah, we are going to talk about that. I want to talk about the Jeffersonian architecture first. It truly, truly stunning. I mean, how did you,
thank you,
first of all, why Jeffersonian structure? That's number one question. And then the second part of this question is, how did you go about finding a builder to make the Jeffersonian structure a reality?
Yeah. So my husband is a double who, so went to UVA, both undergrad and graduate school. So he loves Jeffersonian architecture. By trade, he is a physician, but his second love was architecture. And when he was in school, he was able to take a class called Theory of Jeffersonian Architecture. And with that class, every Thursday, they would go and visit a different home that Jefferson had designed in the Charlottesville area. And that was one of his favorite classes. And he always said if he had a second career, architecture would be it. So hence, that's why we have the architecture, the Jeffersonian architecture. I think it's beautiful. I went along with it. So anyway, he did the basic design of our house. And then we did have an architect draw it up. John Cease was our architect, and he drew it up and made a few modifications. One day I found the original drawing that Steve had put together, and it is very much true to that. The basic outline of the house is that. As far as builders, we acted as our own contractors. It was a great experience for us. I know that's not always the case for everybody, but Steve has more the knowledge, and I am a go-getter and hard worker. So the two of us, we were able to do this, and it went very well.
That's really great. Now, what key components of the Jeffersonian architecture can the Laffers find on your property? Because he invented a lot of different things, and there were a lot of many, many elements to it. What are the key things they'll find at your place?
Well, some of it, the brick pattern on our house is what's called Flemish bond. And that is what they used to use in the olden days. And if you look at the brick pattern, it's a full brick and then the end of a brick and then a full brick and the back end of the brick, if I'm making any sense. And the reason they did that is because the homes were two bricks thick in order for insulation. So that component we carried through in the design of our brick. So Flemish bond there. We have a herringbone pattern, which is what it sounds like for our patio space. We have some circular windows, some half circle windows and things like that. So columns, some large columns with it as well.
Are there and dome some dome features too, correct?
Yeah, so that actually is a little different than what we had originally planned. His thought, so on top of our house, we have a cupola. And essentially all it is, it's a raised structure that allows light to flow through the inside of the house. Our house is very open. So you can like look through the front of the house and see to the back. It's kind of on a cross pattern. But our cupola, we had originally planned on it being an oculus to just allow, just to have a glass, I guess, roof. And we were having a hard time coming up with a structurally sound design that we could afford. So our architect came up with the cupola to put on top of the house. So that's just, it's a little different, but we like it. So.
Yeah, fun facts. That's what that is. That's really great. Mm-hmm. I love that. Now, the first inaugural wedding was in the original building, which is your residence. Who was the first couple that got married at your venue?
Our first couple was our son. We have four children, and he's the oldest, and he was the one who got married here. We built what is called a pergola, which is where most couples got married. And we actually have him and his wife's wedding date is underneath all the brick and the cement there. And he wasn't here when we were doing the cement, but one or two of our other daughters were. And so we have a couple handprints in the cement under there.
Aww. But,
yeah. So our son was the first to get married. At our place. So that was very special to us.
When was that?
Oh, Dawn.
Well, you don't have to know the exact date. Do you know the year?
They've been married 5 years, I believe. So what is that, 2016?
Yeah,
I
think so.
Does that sound right?
It sounds good to me.
Okay, somewhere around there.
I guess it's, I had one kid. I guess that's what happens when you have four kids. You got to keep a lot more. Facts,
yeah,
right.
A lot more goes on there.
That's awesome. Well, you've grown since that inaugural wedding. You have more indoor and outdoor options on your property for weddings that features now a new Jeffersonian structure. Can you speak on this and talk to the Laffers a little bit about what's included in a wedding package with this venue that you have, how couples can book a tour, and the kinds of customized pricing you have available?
Sure. You might have to remind me of a few of those questions, but I'll start with what I can remember.
So we
started a winery. And so about 4 years ago, we built a winery. And in that building there, we have a reception hall for weddings. So that building mirrors our home. So again, Jeffersonian architecture, the Flemish bond, we have columns, it's bricks. The name of our winery is Bricks and Columns, B-R-I-X. And so our name is a play on wine and structure. Bricks is how sugar is measured in grapes. So the bricks, the B-R-I-X, is the wine component, and then the columns is the architectural component. So in that space, we have our tasting room. We have what we call our small tasting room, and then our large tasting room. And the large tasting room is essentially our reception hall. We also have bathrooms and dressing rooms and kitchen facility. Let's see. You're asking about wedding packages, I believe.
Yes, customized wedding packages. Correct.
Yeah. So we rent out our facility on mainly on the weekends. We do some weekday weddings. Our cost for a wedding in 2022 is $6,800. We include tables, chairs, and linens with that. We include dressing rooms. Basically, the cost is all. It includes everything that we have. We have just a couple add-ons, but not much. Our add-ons are, if your group is over 200 people, then it's $15 a person over that. And then if you want to add in our small tasting room for additional space, that can be added for an additional fee. But otherwise, things are included. So we have our ceremony site, which is the pergola up at our house. We let people come in and do pictures there. We have the dressing room, both a bride and groom's dressing room. The groom's dressing room has a pool table, which the guys all love. They love being thought of and to have a good sized room. So that is great. We have a patio space for a cocktail hour, along a nice flat lawn in front of there that people use for cocktail hour. So, and then our reception hall with that. So the other thing we have started is petite weddings. So we found COVID has had people think a little differently about weddings and are doing smaller weddings. So we offer some petite wedding packages. Some of those packages are all inclusive, well, pretty much all inclusive. They include the florist, cake, a caterer, and what am I forgetting? Something. Well, they include a couple things. You can email me and I'll tell you what I'll do. But makes it easier for people with planning a wedding. We have them, or if you just want to do your, if you have your own vendors you want to use, you're welcome to do that too. And we've also had a couple elopements where it's just a couple and their officiant and witness, and they've come and had a wedding here. So we have indoor places, we have outdoor places. We have many locations on our property for outdoor location for a wedding.
And what would you say for the petite package you now have available? What is that size? What would you say is the size is for a petite? That's new. That's a new for me. So yeah, I'm just curious. Yeah.
So we say from 10 to 25. So we have we had an elopement here where it was literally four people. So that can vary, and we will vary it. And we've had we've made accommodations for a wedding for up to like 30 or 35 people in that petite package. So if it's something you're interested in, just call us and we'll talk with you about it. But it's generally kind of that 10 to 25 guest list that we're looking at.
Yeah. And I do like that you have the pool table for the guys. You also have something really cool for the bridal party, too. Not everyone has this on their venue in their bridal party rooms, but it's equipped to have a hairdresser come in and, you know, have what they need on site to do the bride and the bridal party's hair, right? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, we do. For the bride's dressing area, when we were designing that, we talked with hair and makeup people and said, what do you like about a space? What are you looking for? And so they had set a regular height countertop for us to do hair with dedicated outlets for those blow dryers and curling irons that, you know, cause our circuits to go down. And we have dedicated outlets for them. And then we have lots of French doors and lots of windows. So there's lots of natural light in that room as well, which they love for makeup. So it's worked out really well. Both the bride and the groom's dressing room has their own private bathroom that's on those rooms as well. And then we, you know, there's tables and chairs in each of them, and the bride's room is a couch. So another fun thing we do for couples that are getting married here is this saying, something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue. One of our brides was telling us the last line of that is a silver sixpence in her shoe. And I had not heard that. But our last name is Pence. We have four children. So the name of our farm is Sixpenny Farm. So we thought that was a very fitting saying for our couples. So we had a local artist do a calligraphy of that saying with some of the flowers that are on the sixpence. And we give a little 5x7 of that and a sixpence to our brides that get married here. So we started that a couple of years ago, maybe 2 years ago.
Well, that is a nice little signature piece, memorabilia piece to have booking wedding with you. I love that.
Well, it's fun and it's something unique to us. It fits us very well. So we fell into it and it was the bride who told us about it. So that was fun.
Well, the next time I come out there and get a glass of wine, I want to see one of these.
Okay, I will show you.
That's a deal, right?
Yes, we'll do that.
Okay, good. Well, how can couples book a tour then if they want to see, hey, can this be my dream wedding spot? What would they need to do?
Yes, they can go on our website, bricksandcolumns.com. You can book a tour through that. You can also call our number and leave a message. I'm the one who works with people on weddings for right now. So I'm who they end up speaking with. So yeah, so just get us by website or by phone.
That's good. And what have you found to be the most challenging about being in the wedding industry and then the most rewarding part too?
Yeah, probably the most challenging. I will say this, you know, people talk about bridezillas. Really, we find very few of those. I don't know. I find people are usually okay about things. There's a lot going on. I think one of the most challenging things is how much goes on with a wedding. I don't think people quite realize all the moving parts to it. One of my favorite comments was a mother of the groom. She, the week of the wedding, or I talked to her that week, she said, "I've never felt so popular. My phone just keeps ringing." And it's very true. You know, there's things you plan for and some stuff just has to be done last minute. And I know on my end, it's a lot of planning. I am a planner. I like to be organized. I like to anticipate, but we also know things aren't going to be perfect. And how do we adapt to that? And how, when my goal when a couple is here is I want them to have the best day of their life. And I will do whatever we need to possibly within reason make that happen. And so there are things that happen that the bride and groom never know about and should never know about because you want to take care of that. You know, for instance, if someone forgot dessert plates, well, what are we going to do to get those here? We strongly suggest a wedding planner, but sometimes we're in there helping with that. So time consuming and just a lot of thought and hands-on and energy is a lot to it. And, you know, some of the best rewards are people saying, "We just had the best day of our lives. We are so happy that we were here," and nothing gives us more pleasure than hearing those comments and hearing things like that from people.
Yeah. And the pictures from the wedding are in that stunning panoramic views that you have are a reminder of that. So that's really great. I love that. You can even see some of those pictures on their website, but we'll put in the show notes later. For the laughers listening, if you haven't been and you want to get an idea, you'll be able to see that. You now have a vineyard too. And when did this get going? What was that process like? I mean, were you always going to have a vineyard out there? Or did that just come out? How did this happen?
It just came up is how it happened. And you're testing my memory on what years. I will give you rough ideas. Please don't hold them to me.
Okay.
So the vineyard was never like long-term plan for us. What happened? We were doing cattle and hay, as I talked about before. Our son graduated from high school, went on to college. We didn't have as many hands helping with doing those small square bales of hay. It seemed like a couple years after our son graduated, the kids who knew him knew about all the fun the guys had, but there wasn't that core group of guys that were there, and that kind of waned. Baling hay really is not that fun. But I guess
that's why I don't do it, laughers.
That's right. If you're with the right people, anything can be fun. So that's what happened. So with our pool of people not being as available, we were looking to diversify a little bit, and we had several people approach us about weddings. We really do have a beautiful spot. We're surrounded by both the Blue Ridge and the Massanutten Mountains. The sun sets over the Massanutten Peak, which can just be spectacular when we have a beautiful sunset. So we were looking to diversify and ended up talking with another vineyard who was looking for another place to grow grapes. And in Virginia, growing grapes is all about site suitability. So you need to have the right airflow, the right elevation, the right soil. So they came over and looked at our land and said, your land's good for growing grapes. But they said that, and then they ended up finding land closer to their farm. So they were no longer interested in ours, but my husband and I are both pretty stubborn, and we thought, well, if they can grow grapes, we can grow grapes. So off we
That's
went.
Right.
Off to adventure. That's right. So about 2015, we planted our first vines. And we have just absolutely loved it. I cannot say enough positive things about the Virginia wine industry. It's a supportive group. I can call any of my neighbor vineyards and say, hey, do you have, you know, we're having an issue with this or that. An example was this fall was a terrific year for growing grapes. My daughter was diagnosed with MS in May, but we decided to go see her back in May. In September, we were trying to think of something to do with her that would be fun. So we did a fly fishing trip planned for September. Well, September is prime harvest time. And in May, September sounded really good. But when September comes around and we're in the midst of harvest, leaving is not such a really good option. So I was talking with one of the other vineyard owners, and they're in the midst of their harvest. And I said, you know, I said, I don't know why I did this. And his response to me, it was, family is always important. You need to go there. And he said, if you need me to harvest for you, I'll be there. And that could come from one of 20 different people. That's how our industry is. And it's just so, so rewarding. And I said, no, we'll be fine. But that's the kind of people that own vineyards and run wineries is that mentality.
They had your back. I'm like getting a little teary-eyed over here, and I got goosebumps going. That was really awesome. Yeah.
It was really sweet. So that's one reason we love the Virginia wine industry. But it is just, it's so much fun. Making wine is a blast. It really is. We built our building, I think, in 2017. I think that's correct. And so have been doing, running that since then.
Yeah. And you have an upper and lower vineyard. I found that fascinating when I was like researching this for this podcast. I was like, upper and lower vineyard. I mean, is that normal? I don't know. So is this intentional design, or what types of wine grapes and what types of wine grapes are you all growing?
Sure. Yes, it is intentional. Twofold. So yes, we have an upper and lower vineyard. Our upper vineyard sets about 50 feet higher than our lower one. And it's on the backside of our farm. Our lower vineyard, so there's two main varietals of grape breeds, and one is called hybrids, and those are grown or are propagated to grow in the U.S. And so they're disease resistant. They are good producers. They can tolerate some of the cold that the vinifera. So, and the other varietal is vinifera, and those are European bases. And those are the names that we often recognize, like the Cab Franc, the Petit Verdot, the Chardonnay. And so they can be a little more finicky. And so our upper vineyard is better for the vinifera or grapes that are a little more finicky. And the lower vineyard is good for grapes that might not do quite as well. And you don't think 50 feet is that big of a difference, but it truly is. And it's where sort of you have cold sinks. If you've ever gone hiking or like walked in an area and you walk in a lower area and suddenly the temperature is like 5 degrees cooler and it's just a little dip in the land, that's a low sink. So in the vineyard industry, we try to avoid those low sinks. And so just being a little lower in general, you have more of a chance of it being a little colder. So varieties that we are growing. So in our lower vineyard, we have Chamberson and Vidal, and both of those are hybrids. And then we have Cab Franc, which is a vinifera, but that's in our lower vineyard, and that tolerates things a little better. And in our upper vineyard, we have Viognier, Chardonnay, and Petit Verdot. So, and we also have Petit Manseng in our lower vineyard as well. So,
it seems to me like you need to have some certain base knowledge to be able to have a vineyard. How did you all? You're just rattling that off like she's not looking at notes, Laffers, or anything. She just rattled all that off.
How did you? Hours on this.
So I didn't know any of that.
I love this.
I could tell, but how did you learn? Is there a school or a class or what? How does this work? Yeah.
So we did Piedmont Virginia Community College, which is in Charlottesville. They offer classes on both vineyards and winemaking. So we've taken some classes there. We do work with a vineyard consultant. So we have someone that comes over and makes recommendations to us about what we should plant, where we should plant it. We do all the work in the vineyard, but she consults with us. Most vineyards do have a vineyard consultant, even when they've been around for years. And the reason being is it's nice for someone else to come and lay eyes on your vineyards. Vines can be really picky, and we have disease, we have insect infestation. And so having a vineyard consultant come in and purposely look at everything and just be a different set of eyes is good to have. So we rely on our vineyard consultant as well. And, you know, a lot of it's just reading, talking with people. We just learning lots, and there's still lots more to learn.
It's like you're living your best life, Stephanie Pence.
It really is. I will tell you, it is so fun. Both my husband and I, we work long, long days, long weeks, but when you do something you love, that's okay. It's, you know, it's fun. And working in the industry that we work in is just wonderful. And, you know, to have supportive, you know, people that are your peers and, you know, they have your back, we have their back. It's just, it's a really nice feel. And wine is fun to drink too.
I agree.
It's pleasurable. And, you know, I always tell people when you drink alcohol, it's for pleasure. And so enjoy it. Drink what you like and enjoy what you're drinking. So,
yeah. Speaking of that, you offer tastings in your tasting room. How do your tasting work? How do your tastings work? And when is your tasting room open?
Yes. So COVID put a little kind of changed up a way a lot of us in the wine industry work tastings. So currently we do not offer an official tasting in our room or winery. We're doing wine by the glass, by the bottle, and then we're doing flights. And we have a red, a white, and a sweet flight. And a flight consists of 5 different wines, about an ounce and a half pour. So you get about a glass and a half of wine. And then we have tasting notes, and you take that back to your table and you can taste it. We found we've really enjoyed the flights. People seem to like that as well. So the old days were pre-COVID is you'd have 20 people up at your bar crowded in, and you're pouring drinks and talking to everybody. And it's just, we found that's not COVID friendly. So the flights have worked out really well. We are doing some private tastings. If someone wants to arrange a tasting just for like a small group, we can do that, and we will come to your table and pour wine and talk about it. So our wines are made in the French style. So we do have a majority of our wines are dry, but we do have some sweet wines as well. So dry means not sweet. And then you have off dry or sweet wines.
How many wines are in a flight, and what's the cost for a flight?
Yeah, so there's 5 wines in a flight. It equals a glass and a half of wine, and it's $12 for a flight of wine.
Okay. That's it. I'm asking because inquiring minds want to know, like mine. Just saying.
Well, fix it up. Well, fix it up.
I was sitting here, you're answering that. I'm like, maybe I'll go there today.
All right. Come on down, Dawn. We'd love to have you.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of the wines, you have an exclusive wine membership. Most of the vineyards that I know of, I haven't met one that hasn't yet. You call yours the Foundation Club. What's included in your wine club membership?
Yeah, so Foundation Club, we chose that name. That kind of goes with our bricks and columns, building oriented. So with that, we have quarterly pickups. And so it's, I believe, February, May, August, and November. I think that's right. We have pickups, and we choose 3 bottles of wine, or we let you choose your own 3 bottles of wine. So we have what our selection is, but if you want to alter from that, you just have to let us know. So some of the perks of it are on pickup day, you get 15% off your pickup for that day. So you can get your 3 bottles, you can get more than that. It's actually a nice way if you're having an event or something and you want to pick up some wine. A wine club pickup day is a good day to do that because you save a bit of money. Everyday discount for wine club members is 10%. And then we have pickup parties. So once a quarter when it's wine pickup day, we have been doing pickup parties. And they look differently. We usually try to have music there. You get to taste the 3 wines that we've chosen. You get a free glass of wine. Our last pickup party, we did a vineyard walk, and we did food and wine pairing in the vineyard. So you had to walk to a certain place in the vineyard. You got to taste the grapes that made the wine that you were tasting. And then we paired it with a food. It was just like a little appetizer size food. And then you'd go to the next spot and do that. So we had 4 different spots where people could do that.
Why wasn't I there? That's my question
now.
You missed out. That sounds fun. Yeah.
It really was. It was a lot of fun. It was our first time doing it. We learned. We'll do things a little differently next time, but I think that'll be an annual thing that we do. So, and that was only for our wine club members. Next year, we may expand it to other people, but just, you know, for wine club members, we might do a new release of something that they get it before somebody else does, or just, you know, just different little things like that we try to think of.
Did you have someone make the food? That they were appetizer kind of food, or did you make it?
I made it. So the one reason it was only open to our Foundation Club, we're not allowed because we're not a certified kitchen. I can't sell food.
Okay.
But we can give food away. That's why we did it for our wine club members. So I can give food away. And we ended up giving out all the recipes too. People really enjoyed it. But we did like a squash soup with the Chardonnay. We did these kind of Asian tartlets with What did we do that? That was with our Cab Franc, some beef tartlets. We did a fruit salad or a fall harvest salad with our white bricks. And then we had a delicious stout cake with our port style wine, which was a big hit as well. So
it's like a little progressive, you know, had a little progressive feel to it.
Yeah, it was. It was really fun.
Oh, so. That's great. Now, note to self, what time of year again is that?
Yeah, in the fall, but you need to join. Get your membership done.
Did you hear that, Laffers? You'll have to keep me accountable.
That's right.
That's awesome. I love on your website that you also have a bricks blog. And I think that's really neat. I was looking at it a little bit, but I was wondering if you could share more with the Laffers what kind of content you have in your blog and how often you do a new post.
Yeah. So we actually have two blogs. We have one for weddings. And so we'll talk about different trends in weddings. And that usually comes out about once a month. And then we have a wine blog. And so I have to just backtrack a little bit here. We are Great Dane owners. And when we opened our tasting room, we had a Great Dane named Winston. And Winston was a wonderful winery dog. He loved everybody. He would walk out to your car and greet you. He would walk you into the proper door in the tasting room, bring you up to the bar and wag his tail and say, "I did my job."
He was proud of himself, wasn't he, that Winston?
Yes, he was. He was very good. But Winston would write a blog about wine and different wine facts that he learned while hanging out in the tasting room. And so for about 2 years, Winston wrote wine blogs, or 2 or 3 years, I forget now, and would just, you know, things that he would hear us talking about or that customers would ask. So very informative about wine. Winery things. And Winston unfortunately passed about a year and a half ago. He was older. He was 9. So he had lived a really good life. But we got another Harlequin Great Dane, Wyatt. And Wyatt, being on the younger side and a different personality, hasn't quite come into himself with writing a wine blog yet. He's learning. Winston tried to teach him, but Winston passed before Wyatt quite had it down. So we're working on Wyatt's wine blogs, but Wyatt is not as people oriented as Winston was. He's friendly. He's never aggressive, but we say he's a cat dog. He'll come up and say hello. He may or may not say hello. Usually he does not say hello. And he'll walk through the tasting room and say hello to nobody and then just go sit in the chair and completely ignore everybody. So anyway, we're working on his social skills.
Okay, so stay tuned for that content.
Yes. I think he recently just put a blog together, but it takes him a little longer to get his thoughts together. Yes.
We'll extend him some grace.
A little bit, not too much. He doesn't need it.
How big are Great Danes? I know I've seen them. I've met Winston, but yeah. What is the size of a Great Dane?
Yeah, so our Danes are medium-sized Danes. They're about 135, 140 pounds. So, but
that's
they are
medium.
Yeah, he's medium. A big one is about 180. So, he's falling right into that category, and he is. He's down in the tasting room about half the time. And he'll let you say hello. He'll tolerate you saying hello, and that's about
it.
Then he leaves. Yeah, then he goes and hides behind the bar. So
I think he's an introvert.
He's an introvert. I said he's like his mom, because that's how I am. I said, "I'll hide behind the bar with you, Wyatt. We can stay back together."
There for each other. That's beautiful. Yeah, you got a lot going on. You even have events out there in the tasting room. What kinds of events do you typically have? Can you speak on that a bit?
Yeah, so March through November, every Friday, we have music. If it's nice, we try to have that outside. If the weather's inclement, we're able to have it inside. So that's always really popular. We have yoga twice a week. So it's called Wine and Yoga. That's on Wednesday and Saturday. And for yoga, you don't have to pre-register. You can just come on. We usually recommend coming a few minutes early to get registered. But we have that. And then we just started this year, music and mimosas. So the first and the third Sunday of each month, we have a musician. It's usually our Friday nights are more kind of louder bands, a little more danceable. Our Sunday music is more guitar and just more sit around, relax and listen.
Instrumental.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing those on the first and third Sundays. We're not doing any in December just with the holidays. It's too much going on. So, but yeah.
Yeah, I want to ask about the yoga. It's class and glass. How much does the yoga glass and class cost?
Yes. You don't hold me to this, but I think it's $15 for a class, the class of yoga, and then a glass of wine you get with it. And then we also, for people who don't want to drink, I think it's $10 for just yoga. So you can come and just do yoga. And the girl that teaches it, Rachel Hupp, is our usual instructor. And Rachel, she teaches to all levels. One time I was out there with my daughter, who is mid-20s, and she's done yoga before. There was me, who I don't do yoga, and then my 80-year-old mother. And the three of us were all in the same class. She'll tell you, you know, if you want to increase the intensity, do this. If you want to, you know, decrease it, do this. So she's very good at working with people. So, and it's not an intimidating scene to be on. So it's good.
Yeah, I like that. I'm going to have to come check that out. I just started doing some yoga, so I'll have to come check that out. Yeah. And then coming up at the end of December 31st, laughers can ring in the new year with the mix at Bricks and Columns. Yeah. I would love for you to tell them more about that event. So please do tell.
Yeah. So this will be our second year of having a New Year's Eve event. We had one pre-COVID, and then of course COVID happened. And so we didn't have one after that. But this will be our second year for doing a New Year's Eve event. And The Mix is one of our favorite bands. They come out, they're a Friday night band that we often have, and they play a wide variety of music. And you know, they do covers from, you know, country, they do Bob Marley, they'll do, more hip music. It's they're fun. They're just a good performers, good danceable music. So they'll be playing. And then while they're taking breaks, we'll do some wine trivia in there. And then they also sometimes will put some line dancing music on that they may not play in the band, something like the Macarena or something, so people can dance during that. And then we will give a glass of complimentary champagne at midnight for our guest. And the event runs from 8:30 to 12:30. The cost is $30. We try to keep it more low key. So it's just something to come and have fun. And you can go out and have dinner with your friends and then come and enjoy a glass of wine. We also will have beer for sale that evening as well. So those that are not wine drinkers can enjoy beer. And we do have hard cider as well. So.
Covering all the bases over there, Stephanie. That's awesome.
We are trying.
I love it. Well, as we wrap up here, how can people follow Bricks and Columns on social media or elsewhere so they can learn more about the possibility of having their dream wedding at Bricks and Columns, learn more about your upcoming events, and taste some of your vino?
Yeah. So our website, bricksandcolumns.com, is the best information source for both weddings and to find out, you know, about our hours and things at the winery. On Facebook, we're Bricks and Columns Vineyards, and Instagram is where we have like our current events that are happening. That's kind of good for like our day-to-day operations. If something is happening, it's often posted there. So if you follow our events on Facebook, you'll find out what we have going on.
That's great. And Laffers, we will be sure to put all of that information in the show notes for you as well. And I want to say thank you, Stephanie. It really has been a pleasure spending time with you, learning more all about all things weddings, vino, and more at Bricks and Columns. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Dawn. I really enjoyed spending this time with you. It's always nice to talk with you and get to connect with you. So thank you for having me on the show.
Absolutely. I feel samesies for sure. For our 21 and up laughers, you can be sure to check out their New Year's Eve event with live music by the mix, wine trivia, and a sparkling wine toast where you can ring in your new year. You can get your tickets through their Facebook page under events. We'll also be sure to put their Eventbrite ticket link in the show notes for you too. And lastly, and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, laughers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us, and we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to an X2 Comedy show or let us bring a show to you. To find out more, head to x2comedy.com. Be sure to share us with a friend. Until next time, cheers.